Good morning. The Secretary-General will briefly preview the meeting and then he'll be very happy to take your questions. Secretary-General.
Good morning. In a few hours, NATO leaders will gather here in Brussels for an important meeting at our new headquarters. We have two major items on our agenda, stepping up NATO's role in the fight against terrorism and fairer burden sharing in our lines. We are making progress on both. NATO has been actively engaged in the fight against terrorism for many years. Today we will adopt an action plan to enhance NATO's contributions. Our largest military operation ever was launched in Afghanistan in a direct response to the 9/11 terrorist attacks on the United States. 13,000 NATO troops continue to train Afghan forces. We will assess our level of support and the future of the mission. Training local forces is one of the best weapons in the fight against terrorism. We are already training Iraqi forces. And our AWACS surveillance planes provide information to the global coalition to defeat ISIS. Today, we will decide to expand our support to the coalition with more AWACS flight time, more information sharing, and air-to-air refueling. All 28 allies are members of the global coalition. And today we will agree on NATO's membership in the coalition. This will send a strong political message of NATO's commitment to the fight against terrorism and also improve our coordination within the coalition. But it does not mean that NATO will engage in combat operations. At the same time, we will agree to establish a new terrorism intelligence cell here at NATO headquarters, improving how we share intelligence, including on foreign fighters. And we will decide, to appoint a coordinator to oversee NATO's efforts in the fight against terrorism. The other major topic we will discuss is fairer burden sharing. In 2014, all allies agreed to spend more and better on defence, including moving towards investing 2% of GDP on defence within a decade. In 2015, cuts came to a stop, and in 2016, total spending across Europe and Canada increased by billions of dollars. This is not just about cash, but also about modern capabilities and meaningful contributions to NATO's missions, operations, and engagements. Today, we will take steps to keep up the momentum. We will agree to develop national plans every year. This will set out how NATO allies intend to meet their pledge so that we continue to match words with action. The stakes are high. This is about our security in a more uncertain world. So I look forward to welcoming all NATO leaders as well as the President, the Prime Minister of Montenegro, soon to be our 29th ally. With that, I'm ready to take your questions.
Wall Street Journal.
Mr. Secretary-General, some have said the counterterrorism moves that NATO is making are more symbolic than real. In the wake of the Manchester attack, how do the changes you're making improve the fight against terrorism, improve security in Europe, and what is the real benefit of these moves?
We will agree an action plan today on how to step up NATO's efforts fighting terrorism. And in that action plan, there are many elements. One of the elements is to join the global coalition fighting ISIS. This will send a strong political signal, and message of unity in the fight against terrorism, but also provide a better practical platform for coordination of NATO efforts and the efforts of the rest of the coalition. We are going to step up our practical support with more AWACS support, more flying time and more information sharing and air-to-air refueling. We will also do more when it comes to other issues, and I announced that we will now establish a new intelligence fusion cell at the headquarters addressing terrorism, including foreign fighters. And we will also appoint a special coordinator for NATO's efforts fighting terrorism. So this is both a strong political message of unity in the fight against terrorism, but also a part of an action plan where we are providing more practical support to the efforts fighting global terrorism, including addressing our mission in Afghanistan.
CNBC.
Mr. Secretary General, Hadley Gamble with CNBC News. You mentioned intelligence sharing. How concerned are you by what we've seen with the United States, not just in the identifying of the Manchester bomber just yesterday, but also, of course, with Israeli intelligence? Are you concerned by that? And also, when we talk about what's happening in terms of Russia, Russia isn't directly on this agenda. Why is that?
Russia is on NATO's agenda always, and Russia will be discussed during the meeting later on today. Also as part of our discussions related to the transatlantic bond and burden sharing. Because one of the reasons why we are investing more in our collective defense, why we are increasing our military presence in the eastern part of the alliance, is of course as a response to the aggressive actions of Russia we have seen in Ukraine. So Russia is on NATO's agenda. We have a strong and clear message, and that is that we need both credible deterrence, defense, and dialogue. And NATO has a long-standing policy, and that is that we need both dialogue and credible deterrence and defense in our approach to Russia, and that will be discussed during and addressed during the meeting later on today. On intelligence, I will say that the issue related to the Manchester attacks, it's a bilateral issue between the UK and the US, and it's not for me to comment on that. What I can say in general is that intelligence is of great importance for NATO. We are stepping up our efforts and our work when it comes to sharing intelligence. We have just established a new intelligence division here at the headquarters so we can better analyze, better understand, and better share intelligence. And we are also today announcing that we will establish a new fusion cell or a cell related to fighting terrorism, especially addressing also issues like foreign fighters. So this is something, this is an area where NATO really plays a key role, enabling allies to share intelligence also related to fighting terrorism.
Al-Arabiya?
Yep.
In the middle. Yeah.
Yeah. Good morning, sir. If we see what NATO provided to Afghanistan for more than a decade, and still the country is not stable yet, my question to you is how long NATO will be committed to assist Iraqi forces to stabilize the country? And if you don't mind, is there any progress in your discussion with the Libyan experts or official from Mr. Sarraj's side? Thank you.
So there are many challenges in Afghanistan, and no one said that the situation in Afghanistan was going to be easy when NATO ended its combat operations at the end of 2014. But we have achieved a lot. We have been able to train and build Afghan forces, which are now able to take responsibility for the security in their own country themselves. That's a great and important achievement, and the Afghans show professionalism, bravery in the way they handle the very difficult security situation in Afghanistan. We don't have any end date for our activities in Iraq. We are focused on how can we build local capacity, how can we build local institutions, how can we train local forces, because we know that in the long run it's much better that local forces, local institutions are able to take care of the security, the stability in their own country, instead of NATO or or NATO allies deploying forces in the country. The last question was Libya. Well, we are in dialogue with Libya. I recently met with Prime Minister al-Sarraj, where we discussed how NATO can provide a support for institution building, meaning building a modern Minister of Defense, Joint Chief of Staff, helping them with establishing better intelligence systems. All of this is of great importance because they need the structures to be able to gradually stabilize Libya. It's not about any kind of combat presence or military training. This is about institution building. And our experts teams met recently, and they continue to discuss how NATO can provide that kind of support.
Hadrock News Agency.
My question is also about that the NATO join, you know, the IS coalition. Will NATO join US and Afghanistan as well against IS? And if yes, then NATO once again start comeback mission in Afghanistan?
NATO will continue its train, assist, and advise mission in Afghanistan. And we will address that during the meeting today. We will also later on this year decide on the exact troop levels. We will not return back to a combat operation. Our aim is to train the Afghan forces to enable them to step up their efforts in stabilizing their own country, countering Taliban, but also fighting different terrorist groups in Afghanistan, including ISIS. And again, we have seen that Afghan forces, especially the special operation forces, have been very effective in targeting and attacking ISIS and other terrorist groups in Afghanistan. NATO troops are not doing that, but we help and we train and we advise the Afghans in their fight against ISIS.
Over there.
Secretary General, I'm aware that you see this largely as a bilateral issue, but with the US apparently leaking details of an ongoing British terror investigation, is it not going to be extremely difficult to put forward a convincing plan for intelligence sharing throughout NATO?
It's not possible for me to go into an issue when I don't know more about what actually happened and the details, and it's a bilateral issue between the US and UK. What I can say is that sharing intelligence is of great importance. Sharing intelligence is based on trust, and we have seen in NATO over many, many years that we have been able to share intelligence in a good way, and that has been of great importance for the alliance and for all allies. And we are doing more of that with the new division and now also with the establishment of a new cell addressing specifically countering terrorism. So that's the important thing for the alliance, and then I will not go into the specific issue related to the Manchester attacks.
Petrol News Agency.
Good morning. Mohammed Chbul, Jordan News Agency, Petra. Secretary General, you said that NATO leaders are going to agree that NATO will join the counter-IS coalition. Can you tell us that what this decision would entail in practical terms if it is officially taken today? Thank you.
NATO joining the coalition to defeat ISIS is a strong political message of unity in the fight against terrorism. In addition, it provides a better platform for coordinating the efforts of NATO and other coalition members in the fight against ISIS. And NATO is also stepping up our practical support by more AWACS support, our surveillance planes, improving the air picture for the coalition planes, with more flying hours, with more information sharing, and also with air-to-air refueling. And then we will also do more related to intelligence. We are establishing a new intelligence cell here at the NATO headquarters, which can also enable us to get more information about foreign fighters. And I will appoint a special coordinator for overseeing NATO's efforts in the fight against terrorism. So joining the coalition is both a strong political message and a practical tool to improve the way we coordinate our efforts to defeat ISIS.
Lady of them.
Well, Mr. Stoltenberg, you said that you're going to travel to Washington on the 5th of June. You're going to be there when Montenegrin Protocol will be archived in State Department. So what is your message of being present there to Montenegro and NATO as well?
My message is that we very much welcome Montenegro as the 29th member of the alliance. This is important for Montenegro. It's important for the Western Balkans. It's important for the whole of NATO. And it also shows that NATO's door is open. It shows that Montenegro has reformed, has really implemented important reforms in Montenegro, which enables Montenegro to become a new member of the alliance. And I'm looking forward to both welcoming the Prime Minister here later on today, but also then to be present when the documents related to joining the alliance will be deposited in Washington.
Kiev Post.
Brian Bonner, Kiev Post. Yesterday you talked about NATO support for Western sanctions against Russia. If the EU and the U.S. adopted stronger sanctions, would you also support that as well? And do you think the time has come to have that dialogue until Russia gets the message to get out of Ukraine? Thank you.
It's for the EU and the US to decide on economic sanctions, but I have expressed support to the sanctions. And of course, 22 of the EU members and the United States, they are a member of NATO, so it's very hard to see any situation where the EU members that are member of NATO agree to sanctions and also the US agree to sanctions without also NATO being supportive of those sanctions, because we actually speak about almost the same group of countries. So I support the sanctions. I think the sanctions are extremely important as a reaction to the illegal annexation of Crimea and the lack of implementation of the Minsk agreements. And then I'll leave it to the EU and the United States to make the specific decisions on the sanctions.
Question over here.
Good morning, sir. Just a quick question about your feelings on the deployment of the task force in Eastern Europe. Next month, Canada will send its troops in Latvia. So I just want your feelings about how it goes until now.
The deployment of the four battle groups shows that NATO is able to adapt and to change when the world is changing. The four battle groups were decided in Warsaw in July at our last summit, and we are now implementing, and they will be in place, all of them, within weeks. It sends a strong signal of unity. It sends also a strong signal of credible deterrence and defense, because there is a multinational presence in the three Baltic countries and in Poland, Canada being the lead nation in Latvia, and other NATO allies being the lead nations and contributing in the other Baltic countries and Poland. This is a defensive deployment. It's proportionate, measured, and it's a direct reaction to the aggressive actions of Russia in Ukraine.
Last question, gentleman in the center.
Yeah, this is Zaki Shah from Arabs Today. General Secretary, is there a message for the people in the Middle East and the Islamic countries that this summit is not only about bringing fighting and military actions, but also to bring peace and justice in the area?
NATO is an alliance which exists to preserve peace and to create stability, and also help create stability beyond our borders, because when our neighbors are more stable, we are more secure. Therefore, NATO supports efforts to find political solutions, peaceful solutions, negotiated solutions to the different conflicts we see around in the Middle East and the Arab world. Sometimes it's also necessary to use military means, and then NATO and NATO allies have also proven also shown that they are willing to do that, as NATO allies do now in Syria, in Iraq, fighting ISIS, and also supported by NATO. But in the long run, the aim is, of course, to find peaceful, negotiated solutions, and NATO strongly support those efforts because we believe strongly that we have to be able to move forward and avoiding the turmoil and the violence we now see in many parts of the Arab world, or at least the Middle East.
Thank you very much. This concludes this press point. We'll see you again at our new headquarters at around 14:15. Thank you.
Thank you.